As most of you all know, on Wednesday nights we've been looking into Hebrews chapter 11, often called that great roll call of faith. And we've been doing just a little bit of a character study on each of these men that we've come across in the chapter so far, looking particularly at how faith moved them to action to do the things that God had told them to do. No matter how seemingly small that task might be, you know, it doesn't seem like a lot when God told Abel and told Cain to go and make a proper sacrifice. That doesn't seem like a lot, but it was truly an act of faith. We learned a lot from that. It didn't matter how small a task might be, or it didn't matter how large a task it might be, as you look at last week, as we looked at Noah and the building of that ark. They obeyed God willingly through faith in what God asked them to do. These men and women, as we'll be getting into next week in chapter 11, should be examples to us in our lives. You know, when we look back in the Word of God, you know what? When we look at the Word of God, we have to look back in faith. We have faith that these things took place. We trust it to be true. You know, when I read the words of creation from the very first verse in the Bible, it takes faith. Faith to believe in creation. Faith to believe in this account in God's Word. And, you know, likewise, by faith, I also look forward to the promises that God's Word has made. And ultimately, you know, that He's prepared a place for me and that He's coming again for me, that He will provide for me in eternity future. I have faith in those things. But you know what? It's a whole lot easier for me to have faith when I look back in the Word of God and I see these stories of, and we hesitate on calling them stories, right? But we know they're true. But when I see these men follow after God and putting their faith in Him and seeing how God worked out His will in their life and how God was glorified in the end, and it makes it a whole lot easier for me to have faith when I see the faith of these men and women in this chapter. Now, so far, we've spoken about three characters. We've talked about Abel, we've talked about Enoch, and we've talked about Noah. Now, Noah is really a dividing point in this chapter. He's a dividing point between the antediluvian age there before the flood and the time after the flood. And eventually, as we look at this chapter, the chapter is going to start focusing on the dividing of the people and down to a point in time when we see that it centers on one person, and eventually who that one person will be, of course, is Abraham. And then out of the loins of Abraham would be the descendants in which the nation of Israel would eventually form. So tonight we'll be looking at Abraham, and if you would look with me in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin reading in verse number 8, and we're going to read down through verse number 10. We're going to start in verse 8 and read down through verse number 10 as we look at the call of faith. Now it says here in Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place where he should after received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city with half foundation, which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The writer here, you know, whether it be Paul or whether it be someone else, he's now going to spend a lot of time in this chapter focusing on the patriarchs, and especially that of Abraham. Abraham was the one person that all Hebrew people looked back very proudly upon. Some even had the idea that because they belonged to the lineage of Abraham, that immediately they were safe in the Lord. That is, that they had God's favor because they were the descendants of Abraham. But Jesus showed them, of course, that nothing could be further from the truth. You know what? The faith of one's mother, the faith of one's father, the faith of one's grandfather or great-great-grandfather, however far you want to go back, it couldn't save a person back then just as it can't save a person now. The only faith that matters is the faith of the individual. You know, some people have this idea that because dad or granddad or great-granddaddy was a Baptist preacher or some other kind of preacher even, that somehow that the goodness that they did upon this earth is going to transfer to them and keep them out of hell. But folks, that's a lie from the devil. Absolutely is. God forbid that line of thinking. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. We are responsible for our own sins. Every man and woman born upon this earth is responsible for their own sins. Now, to the Jews, though, Abraham was the starting point of God's favor and the starting point of God's promises. They called him Father Abraham. And tonight, even as Gentiles, we too can call upon him and say, Father Abraham. The Scripture says that he is the father to all the faithful. The Scripture tells us that we as Gentiles have been grafted into that root, we being that wild olive branch. So we have been adopted into that family. So we too can say, Father Abraham. More people know the name of Abraham around this world than any other person. As we look back, even as we look at Christians and Jews and even the Islamic people of the world. Now, in order to comment a little bit more further about the verses here, we need to travel back to the book of Genesis. We need to look a little bit at the story here that is given to us in the book of Genesis and the call. So if you would, turn with me back to Genesis in chapter 12. Genesis in chapter 12. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. But before we begin, I want to tell you a little bit about what happened in chapter 11. That's important too. Chapter 11 gives us the details of the Tower of Babel, tells us how man was divided. And then after that point in time, it starts with Shem, who was, of course, one of the sons of Noah. And it starts with the lineage of Shem all the way down to Abraham. Now, at this time, Abraham was a city dweller. He lived in a city called Ur, which at the time, from my understanding and reading, was a very sophisticated city of the day. Living in a city or around the city made it much easier for a person to exist, made it much easier for a person to live from day to day. And if you were going to live in a city, Ur was one of the places where many people would prefer to live. Now let's look in verse number 1. It says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I want you to notice here that God came to Abraham. Abraham wasn't out looking for God. We don't have that recorded anywhere in Scripture. God came to Abraham. Abraham was living in a pagan city, and his family itself was involved in pagan worship. Over in the book of Joshua, we read these words of the Lord speaking about how Abraham was called out of his pagan ways, his pagan family, by God. It says over in Joshua chapter 24, verses 2 and 3, it says, And Joshua said unto all the people, Thus saith, notice who's saying this, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. They served other gods. And I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed and gave him Isaac. So no matter how you want to use the verbiage here, in Genesis 12:1 here it says God said unto Abraham. In Joshua 24:3, it says God took Abraham. Or there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, saying that God called Abraham. However you want to phrase it, it was God who got Abraham, took Abraham, called upon him. It was not Abraham who was out there seeking after God. God came seeking a lamb that He had chosen before the foundation of this world and chose to cast His everlasting love upon Him. And when God called Him, He called Him and His wife. Called Him and His wife. Notice that in verse number 1. He didn't call Abraham's dad. He didn't call Abraham's uncle. He didn't call Abraham's nephews. God called Abraham. And He gave him three orders, gave him three things that he was to do. Number one, get out of the city that you dwell in. It's a pagan city, and I need to separate you from it. Number two, get away from your family. They're pagans too. I need to separate you out of them. And number three, I want you to go into a land that I'm going to show you. I'm not going to tell you where it's at just yet. You've never been there before, but I want you to follow me wherever I tell you to go, and I'll provide a way for you. Now, folks, that's a pretty big request. That's a pretty big request. Abraham loved city life. That's going to be evident in just a moment. And one thing's for sure, Abraham loved his family. That's pretty evident in Scripture as well. But you know what? God was asking him to give up everything that he held dear in life and then to follow Him in faith. Let's keep reading in verse number 2 in chapter 12 of Genesis. It says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now here is the promise of God to deliver a blessing to Abraham for stepping out in faith, doing what God asked him to do. Do you remember the promise that was given back, we looked at it last week and even the week before that, I believe, in Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him." And then it goes on to say, "For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God called out Abraham, and Abraham answered. Because of his faithfulness, God blessed Abraham upon this earth during his life. We look back at the life of Abraham, and we see all the servants that he had. We see all the flocks that he had. We see how the people looked at him as a great prince as he went through the land. We see how, because of his faith, his progeny was indeed blessed. And the nation of Israel is still being blessed today because of the faith of Abraham. We look at ourselves, even as Gentiles. We too are being blessed today because Abraham stepped out in faith and did what God would ask him to do. The Scripture says, "I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Now we understand that that comes through the Messiah, that all the nations will be blessed. But folks, it's all because Abraham stepped out in faith and did what God asked him to do. Now, let's keep reading here. Verse number 4. It said, "So Abraham departed, as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here. First of all, we see that Abraham did not depart out of Ur. That's where we found him in chapter 11. That's where he was originally at, was Ur. He didn't depart from Ur. He was departing here from Haran. You see, when we look here, Abraham didn't do all God had spoken at first. He said, "Get away from the country and get away from your family." Now, the land that God would eventually show to Abraham was the land of Canaan. It was not Haran. Haran was the wrong place to be. Haran was another city. And notice who he's with. And not only did it say to get away from his family like he should have, the scripture shows us, and it shows us here in chapter 12 and verse 4, it says that Lot was with him. But if you go back to chapter 11, you also find out that his father was with him down there in Haran. His father was with him. So, what seems to, what happened here is Abraham received the call of God in Ur, and he left Ur, and he went down to Haran. His father came with, Lot came with down there, and it seems as if, in fact, that he waited for his father to die before he continued on in his journey. Now, eventually, of course, we know that he left Haran. And we know that when he left Haran, what happened? Lot went with him. Should Lot have went with him? No. The commandment of God was to get away from his family. And we see eventually, of course, how in Scripture the two departed over the flocks that they had. They both grew and had large flocks, and they fought over the land a little bit. Their servants did. And they separated. After they separated, that's when, of course, God spoke again to Abraham and spoke about this blessing once again. Now, if we were to even look into the future life of Abraham, if we had time to do that tonight, we're not going to do that. But we've already seen already, did Abraham immediately follow what God said? No, he didn't. We look into the life of Abraham later on, did he always make the right choice? No, he didn't. We know of some things, of course, that he didn't follow in faith on necessarily right away. Next week we're going to be talking about Sarah and the birth of Isaac and those kinds of things. And we know that definitely didn't happen in faith right away. But you know what? As you look at the character of Abraham, as he gets older and older, he gets stronger and stronger both in character and in faith. Now, why do I say all that? You know, I've made it a point to say all that. Now, what's the reason? You know, if we were to look in Hebrews, as we did, and we see the faith that is spoken there of Abraham, if that's all you ever had, if you didn't have the book of Genesis to go back to, and all you had was the book of Hebrews, you would look at what was there, and you would believe that Abraham never messed up. You would think that, you know, it does. It glosses over the time that he did have some failures in their lives. And I say that because, Christian friends, we are all called to live a life of faith. And the faith that we are to have in our life is the same significant faith that the saints of old were to have, these great men that we're studying. But along the way, we're going to stumble. And you know what? There's going to be some times when it seems like we're just not getting it. And you know, some people can't seem to get over their past mistakes. They just get caught up in them, and they look back on the times in their life when they've had lack of faith and they've failed, and that failure keeps them from moving forward. You know what? When I read the Word of God here, and I see the life of Abraham, and then I go over to Hebrews and I see what's written there, you know what? It seems to me that God is more interested then in the end results than our failures. You know, God is going to use our failures along the way to show us and to mold us into what He desires. But it's the finished product that God desires. The finished product. An obedient servant who walks in faith. All right. Well, now that we've refreshed ourselves a little bit on the call of Abraham, I want to return back to Hebrews chapter 11. And now we're going to begin to read verse 8 once again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. Again it reads, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have after received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." I wonder if you would for a moment to see how Abraham's life of faith in his calling gives us a picture of our own selves and the faith that we should have in our calling. First of all, like in the life of Abraham, we understand it was God who called us. It was God who called us. You know, whenever we preach the Word of God, whenever we go out and witness the Word of God, there are two calls that go out in this world. There is the general call that goes out to man, that the natural man cannot receive and will not receive. And then there is the particular call. And the particular call is when God calls those whom He's chosen before the foundation of this world, and through the gospel, He changes the heart of that person and changes that person into a new creation. A new creation. A new person who's been called by Christ to walk in a newness of life. A new walk with God. And in order to walk with God and to follow in that straight and narrow path, the very first thing that we must do is just like Abraham. We have to get out of that country in which we dwell. Now here, of course, I'm not talking about leaving the United States. But you see, for Abraham, especially Ur, represented a place of sin and a time of sin. You know, when we look in the Word of God, you know, after Moses came out, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, the Word of God frequently refers to Egypt in speaking of that time of sin. And that's what it was standing for. Ur was the same thing for God, or for Abraham. Now, the people in Ur were heathens, and God told him to come out from them. When we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, He also says, come out from them. The former things have all passed away, and we're to quit going to places like we used to, places that are full of sin. We are to quit doing sinful things that are pleasing to the flesh like we used to. We're to quit hanging out with the kind of people that we used to hang out with that will lead us further into sin. When we are saved, we are clothed with those robes of white. Now, imagine if you are clothed in a robe of white, your vesture is white, and you go out to pick up coal out of a coal pile. What's going to happen to your clothing? It's going to get dirty. You're going to get filthy. You know what? The same is true after we're saved. If we hang around the filth of this world, we too are going to get filthy. Listen, man's nature is not to go upwards. Man's nature is to gravitate downward. We're going to eventually fall back into those old ways of the flesh that the Lord has set us free from if we don't change what we do. Now listen. You can get involved in the things of the world, and you can get dirty, and I understand it's not going to change your calling. It's not going to change your salvation. But just like Abraham, for every day that he spent in Ur, and then every day that he spent in Haran, he lost out on blessings upon blessings every single day that he tarried when he should have went. And we too will be the same way. We'll miss out on a host of blessings if we don't come out from the world. Now, secondly, Abraham was called to come out from his family. Again, his family was involved in heathenism. We've seen that already. They may have trusted in God, but they also trusted in other idols as well. We see that was pretty common in many cultures, that you just add another god to the list. Now, when we look at that, when we look at adding another god or whatever it might be, what is that? That's compromise. And you know, ideally, when a person is saved, they already have parents that are saved. Saved by that same grace, saved by that same blood. It's even better that if when we're saved that our parents belong to the same denomination that we are saved in. You know, I think about Kennedy. You know, that's a blessing when you're saved and your parents are saved and you attend church together. You know, God would have never told Abraham to leave his family if they would have been a good influence. God would have never told him to do that. He'd had no reason to. But his family wasn't a good influence. And the fact is that many people that are saved, every single day, their families are not Christians as they are. Many families aren't Christians at all. As a matter of fact, many people that are saved every day, if they were returned home, they'd be returning to a den of iniquity. You know, I remember a patient I used to have. He's on my mind quite a bit sometimes. But he was a young man. He was dying of hepatitis. He's passed away now for a couple years. But he told me that his father pushed him into selling drugs when he was in grade school. He'd been selling drugs ever since that he was in grade school. His parents were into drugs. His grandmother was into drugs. Now, folks, you can't return to a place like that. You have to separate yourself from that kind of lifestyle. That's what he had to do. The truth is, sometimes it's easy to step out in faith and say no to the world. But you know what? It's a whole lot harder when it's your family. It's a whole lot harder when it's your family. It's a whole lot harder to keep from compromising your faith when it's your father or your mother or your brother or your sister. Why? Because we desire to please our families. Because we love them so much. You know what? And I understand it's hard to be put in a position where essentially you have to remove yourself from that closeness, that bond that you once had. But I want you to look with me what the Word of God says. Look with me over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. We're going to read down through verse 37. It says, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You know, this is truly the saddest of things when this happens. But listen, it is better to be pleasing before the Lord than to be pleasing before a parent or before a child who is causing us to stumble. Now, what this verse is not saying, it's not saying that we should immediately cut off all of our contact with all of our lost family members whenever we're saved. That's not true either. It should be our desire to be a witness to them in hopes that they would be drawn closer to Christ or to be drawn to Christ in the first place. And you know what? This is really a similar situation. If you recall, Paul was speaking there when he was questioned about these things, you know, like should a person who is saved divorce their lost spouse and move on? But what did Paul say? You know, if it please thy husband, dwell with him. Why? Because your witness may be for his saving. It's the same thing. It's the same principle here that would take place in a family. The key in all of this, again, is that we are to love God more than we love our family. And we are not to seek compromise in order to be pleasing. We cannot compromise in order to be pleasing to a family member. Cannot compromise the Word of God. And you know, this is in every family to some degree. You know, we all have families that are divided in religion. Some more than others. In my family, you know, I think growing up on my mother's side of the family, you know, there's some Church of Christ people in there, and there's some conversations we couldn't have. And then in my wife's family, we have Jehovah's Witnesses on part of them and Jews on the other part. You talk about something that divides. There's a lot of division there. A lot of things that we can't do, and you know what? A lot of things that we can't compromise on either. We have to stand for what is right. Let's move on to the next thing that's said here in Hebrews about Abraham. It says that Abraham departed for a place that he had not seen. You know, when Abraham left Haran, he'd never seen the Jordan River. He'd never seen the beauty of the Sea of Galilee. He had no idea where he would eventually end up with his son Isaac upon that mountain. No idea that later that would be the site for the temple would be built in Jerusalem. But Abraham left. And he went forth in hope in something that he didn't see and something that he would never fully see in his life. Look again in Hebrews 11 and verse 9. It says, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. You know what? I love that word, sojourned. You see, the land there was promised to Abraham. In faith, he could look around and know that God had promised it to him. Though physically, the only thing that he could ever claim in that land was a little piece of land that was used for burial. The only thing he physically ever owned there. But wherever he went, whether it was north, south, east, or west, he knew that it was promised to him and promised to his children. And you know, you'd think as Abraham moved through that land and again, the favor that Abraham had with the people and all the people and servants that he had, the great mass that he traveled with as he came through the land, you might think that Abraham might just try to set himself up as truly a prince in the area. Might try to make some connections there and set himself as something kind of big in the land. Or even maybe even settled an area and started to build a city for himself. That might be man's natural reaction. But that's not what sojourn means. Sojourn means to dwell in, but never to be a part of. To dwell in, but never be a part of. You see, when Abraham went down to Canaan, that land was not empty. There was a lot of people that already dwelt there. And you know what? They were heathens. Just like the people he left. And you know what? On many occasions we see where they would have probably loved to give in marriage and be given in marriage. Especially with all the hosts that followed him. But instead, he dwelt peaceably among them. But yet he never became part of them. He remained living a separate lifestyle. Never compromised with them. Because, you know, as he was going through this land, he was really looking for something even better than that. And that's what we read in verse 10. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now, we don't read that back in Genesis. But Abraham had that revelation. He knew that he was looking for a city that was built by God. Abraham was looking for God. Abraham was looking for a heavenly hope. And he saw it afar off in faith. Today, Christian friend, my prayer is that by faith, that you too are just sojourning in this world, walking in it, dwelling in it, but never becoming attached to it. Our citizenship is in another place. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our hope is in heaven, a much greater place than this. Jesus told us in John, the Gospel of John, in chapter 14, said what? My Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. If I go, I will return again. He's going to return again for us. I hope you have that hope of heaven tonight. And I hope by faith you can see it. And you know what? I don't think it's afar off anymore. I think it's soon coming. I pray that you're ready. I don't know if you know this, but back, you know, earlier in the year, there was those billboards that were all over the place saying that God was coming back. And, of course, that time happened and God didn't come back like the guy had said to everybody. But instead of saying he was wrong, he just readjusted his figure. I think it's this Friday now that the whole apocalypse is going to happen. The earth's going to be destroyed. So, I'll see you all on Sunday. Brother Randy, if you'll come and lead us in song.